I'd like to say that up to this point, it's been a wonderful meeting. I was talking with Brother Neil during lunch, and I asked him, I wonder how many in the congregation caught the importance of what he said this morning. He said, lambs can be led. Pigs have to be lured. Do you as a gospel church catch the importance of that statement? There are a lot of reasons why God compares His people to sheep. Now, I'm not a sheep farmer. Brother Neil's not a sheep farmer. Anything I know about sheep had to come from someone else who was a sheep farmer. But be that as it may, if you know anything about them, sheep can do some pretty dumb things. Repeatedly. Habitually. So there's a good reason that God compares us to sheep. Is that we can do some pretty dumb things repeatedly, habitually. That's just the nature of a sheep. But you know, there's a reason that God says, cast not your pearls before the swine. And there's a reason that the Lord sort of compares the ways of this world to hawks. That as they are being lured or bribed, can I use that word? To perform a task or to go a certain direction, they will destroy everything in their path to get where they're going. Do you see what's happening in the world?
Yeah, just
that. Do you see how the world around us, in pursuit not of truth, but of an idea, is destroying everything in its path to get where it wants to go? Years ago, it would have been a joke when we were teenagers to have a beauty pageant and crown the winner to be nothing more than an ugly man in a dress. That would have been a joke when I was a teenager. That's the truth now. Or excuse me, that's a reality now.
Yeah.
The world around us is destroying everything in its path to get where it thinks it wants to go.
Yeah.
Churches around us are always asking, what can we do to draw more people in? What program can we have? What new thing can we do to bring more people in so they'll have a new drama play, or a new club, or a new this, or a new that. And then they stop and ask, we've got all these people, but why is their understanding so shallow? Well, because whatever it took for you to get them there, it's going to take that to keep them there. So if you had to have the $5 lucky bus seat on the Sunday morning school bus ride, it's going to take the $5 lucky seat to keep them there. But I find quite interesting, as the brother prayed this morning, there was a time in the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, when some men came to Philip and they said unto him, Sir, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. What would be so enticing and important to us that we would want to see something other than the Lord Jesus Christ? He is going to be the focal point of all eternity. Should He not be the focal point even now?
Amen.
They said, Sir, we would see Jesus. I find in the last day of Revelation 22, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come and behold the Lamb. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Do we understand the weight of that statement that John the Baptist has said, behold the Lamb of God? If you take into context that there was that there was a question asked of a young lad hundreds of years prior to the coming of Christ. As he and his father walked up a mountain to offer a sacrifice, the young lad said to his father, "Abraham, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice? Because there's just you and there's just me, and I don't like where this is going." And Abraham profoundly states in Genesis 22 that God would provide Himself a lamb. Didn't say He'd provide for Himself a lamb. That God would provide. And what God provided was Himself.
Amen.
In the form of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so the question that is asked by young Isaac hundreds of years ago is finally answered by John the Baptist when he says, "Look and see the Lamb of God."
Amen. Yeah, right.
You know, sometimes the answer doesn't come immediately.
Right.
Sometimes you have to wait a long, long time for that answer. And if you are impatient like I am, those are trying and dreadful times. Is anybody else in here impatient? If you tell me you are not impatient, please drive me back home this afternoon through Birmingham traffic. And then tomorrow we will speak on lying and repentance.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The men asked a simple question. They said, "We would see Jesus." In John chapter 1, verse 45, it says that Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth." Nathanael says, "Can Jesus of Nazareth, can anything come out of Mississippi? Good come out of Mississippi? I mean, can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip just simply says, "Come and see." It's not a grand command. It's not a magnificent command. It's just something. It's something so very simple. Come and see. You notice how the world just really complicates everything it gets its hands on.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking at the table about the tax collector this morning. Did y'all realize that the IRS spells theirs? The IRS spells theirs. Some egghead somewhere sitting in the dark room said, "Watch this dad joke."
Yeah.
What? That's not a coincidence. Some egghead somewhere said, "You know what? We're going to call ourselves theirs, the IRS." But for those of you that are adults in this room and you've had to fill out a tax form, it could be just so simple, couldn't it? But then if it was that simple, you'd go outside and play. You ever notice how man just complicates everything he sticks his hand to? And Paul warned the church at Galatians that somebody would come in and lure you away from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. You mean salvation by grace? It only takes the blood of Christ and that's it? That's too easy. It's simple. And it's Christ.
Amen.
It really is that easy.
Yeah.
The blood of Christ. Now, it wasn't easy for him. If you think it was easy for him, you had read the Bible. It's unconditional on your part. But it was conditioned 100% on the part of Christ.
Yes, sir.
And what he did right.
Amen.
He said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said, "Come and see." In John chapter 4, there's a woman at a well. And our Savior, by intent, joins himself to a Samaritan. And she has this quaint little conversation with him in John 4. He says, "Woman, go get thy husband." And she says, "Well, I have no husband." He says, "Thou hast said right. Thou hast had 5 husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband." She says, "I perceive you're a prophet." No kidding. Really? What gave it away? But by the time he gets done talking with her, she forgets about her water pot. She leaves that task. She runs away and goes to the village and says, "Come and see. Come and see a man that told me all things ever I did."
Yeah.
A Samaritan. A half Jew. An outcast. Somebody that nobody else wanted to deal with. Says, "Come and see. Come and see a man that told me all things ever I did." Now this is quite unique, because Jesus would walk amongst the people and He would heal this one and He would heal that one. The Bible would tell us that He, knowing their thoughts, would then address this situation in light of what they were thinking. You know what? I'd just rather not any of y'all know what I'm thinking. Because if you think it's bad enough what I say, be thankful I don't say everything I think. And when the Pharisees knew, He knew what they thought, they were ready to stone Him. But this woman, who had been as much called an adulterer and a fornicator right in the presence of Christ, was glad. "What do you mean you're glad? He's told me everything I ever did." Well, that may not impress you very much until you have read possibly in the book of Amos, wherein God told Israel that of all the nations of the earth, "You only have I known. You only have I taken time to know intimately about. That I have a knowledge of you and a love for you and something for you that I don't have for the rest of the world." See, God's love is discriminate.
Yes.
God loves His people and His people only. He does not love all people on this planet equally and alike. If I loved every woman in here the same way that I love my wife, that means nothing. I love my wife more than I love any other woman in here. And all the husbands said, "Amen."
That's right.
I have a love for her that I don't have for anybody else. Jesus has a love for His people that He doesn't have for anybody else.
Yeah.
He had a care for this woman that was special, particular, and for her. "Come. Come see a man. He knows all about you already. You're not going to inform him about anything."
Right.
She went and told the city. She said, "Come see a man that's told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Well, who told this Samaritan that He was the Christ? I venture to say that it's the same one who told Peter He was the Christ. Remember? What did He say to Peter? "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?"
Yeah.
"Well, some say thou art Jeremiah. Some say thou art Elias. Some say thou art John the Baptist." And boy, isn't that just a dilly right there? Jesus and John the Baptist lived 6 months. John the Baptist is 6 months older than Jesus. They walked the same streets. They saw both of them in the same river. John the Baptist is beheaded, and they've got this wonky idea that he's been reincarnated in the person of Christ. How dumb is that? I mean, to what extent will the world go to deny what is true?
Yeah, right.
Well, there's some say. And let's just assure ourselves that usually the majority, when it comes to spiritual matters, is wrong.
All right.
He looks at Peter and he says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Peter says, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Who told that Samaritan that, "Is not this the Christ?" Probably the Father that is in heaven.
Yeah.
And they came and they heard Him. They saw Him even at one time multiply a few loaves and fishes, and they said, "Undoubtedly this is that prophet. This is the Christ of God. Come and see. Come see a man." I'm glad, though, they came to see a man one time and he wasn't there. Have you ever wanted to see Jesus and couldn't see Him? The disciples came, well, a few ladies and a couple of dudes came to see Jesus one time and He wasn't there. Best time for Him to never be there. In the 28th of Matthew, they came to a tomb. And they reason within themselves as they go to this tomb. They says, "When we get there, who's going to roll the stone away for us?" And behold, they get there and the stone's already rolled away. Oh, come see a man that knows everything about you and in this case has already fixed your problem before you got there. Ah, they're sitting here worrying about who's going to roll the stone away, who's going to do this for us, and God has already rolled it away before they even get there. I mean, how many things has God already fixed for you in life that you spend your days worrying about?
Right.
And they get there and they're looking, and this time the angel says, "He is not here, He is risen." Oh, what a great statement. "He's not here, He's risen." A couple years ago, there was a young man that was not a member of our church. His grandmother was a member, but he attended on a regular basis. But he developed cancer, passed away at a very young age, late 30s, early 40s, something of that nature. And I know his mother goes to the grave to visit him once in a while, but I'm tempted almost to go up there and put a sign by the grave that says, "He's not here, He's risen." He ain't in that grave. His body may be there. He is not. He is risen. But hey, come see. Come see the place where the Lord did lay. When you come to the house of God, one of the great things that you want to see is the completed, finished work of Jesus. Come see what He's done. Come see what He has accomplished. After He was resurrected, He appeared to Simon one time in the 21st of John. He says to Simon, "Simon, come and dine. I've got fish on the fire right here. Come and dine." Is that not a great goal for us to come here to see a man and to dine on the work of Christ?
Yeah.
Jesus says to us in Matthew chapter 11, 28th verse, "Come." It's not our intent to bribe anybody. It's not our intent to push anybody. It's our intent to just simply say, "Come. Come see a man. Come see a man who fulfilled all history. Come see a man who knows everything about you. Come see a man who finished His work. Come unto Him, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Amen.
Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls."
Yes,
what a great day. What a great thing. What a great command. Just come and see. Thank you for your good attention.
Amen.